I'm answering all of your guys' questions in today's episode of a Mailbag Podcast, such as, should the Pistons be putting out a lineup next year that's more about winning now, or should it be more about developing the players in said starting lineup? We'll talk about that in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons Podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons Podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to our YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. Or if you listen to us on one of the podcast platforms, go down below and leave us a five-star rating. I'd really appreciate that as well. So today I'm going to be answering all the questions that I had you guys send in over the past day or so. Had you guys send in some questions on Twitter and on YouTube. If you guys want to find yourselves on this episode, on a mailbag type of episode in the future, again, you have to follow me over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. Send me a question, put hashtag mailbag, or you can go subscribe to the YouTube channel, comment in one of the videos down below and put hashtag mailbag that way, and you'll find yourself on an episode of the Mailbag Podcast. So before we answer the first question, which I think is a really good question, it might take us throughout the entire first segment. You guys may be wondering, some of you, I'm sure a lot of you guys already know why, but some of you guys may be wondering, Koo, why aren't we talking about Summer League? Summer League has nobody playing that's going to be on the Pistons opening night roster anymore. They've played four games. I feel like only two games really were fun to watch, maybe even one, because Jaden Ivey sprained his ankle in like the second one, 5 minutes in. So the Pistons didn't even get to have an enjoyable Summer League. Like, this was like a waste of a Summer League for the Pistons. This really sucks. I know a lot of us, including myself, are really excited for the Summer League, seeing Isaiah Livers, Jaden Ivey, Jalen Duren, Killian Hayes, Isaiah Stewart, all these guys. We were excited to see all these guys play, and most of them we only got to see one game. Jaden Ivey only played 5 minutes in the second game, and Jalen Duren was stuck playing with a bunch of, with respect, not very good players, and really hurt his hurt his play on the floor that game. So no one's playing anymore. They're all sitting out, and this is all a bunch of guys who won't be on the Pistons roster and don't serve any importance to the Pistons' future. So we're not going to be talking about Summer League anymore. There's no purpose. There's no point. It'd just be a waste of time. I'm sure a lot of you guys aren't even watching. I don't blame you guys one bit, because, again, these guys, you won't hear about them in like a week and a half. So there's no real point to watch. Kind of sucks. I think they should do something about Summer League to where it becomes more interesting, because a lot of teams are doing this. And if that's the case, I don't really see the point in Summer League, because Summer League has become a product. So I don't get I get why some teams are sitting out, because, you know, injury risk and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, Summer League has become its own product, and advertising it to see all these young high picks playing after three games, none of them playing already, two games, basically none of them were playing. It sucks, and it like ruins like the excitement and what fans were looking forward to. Again, it's not, Summer League isn't very serious, but it is a product that the NBA has taken into consideration about trying to generate some money. So you can't just be putting out a bad product like this. So I think they need to do something, is what my point is, to try and keep Summer League interesting throughout the Summer League. I think it's starting to lose its value now. That was a little bit of a rant. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comment section down below. But anyways, let's get to the mailbag now that we got done talking about the Pistons Summer League. This question I want to start off with, this one was asked by one of my former middle school teachers who, thank you, Mr. Akins, for supporting and continuing to follow me all these years later. Always love hearing from you, man. But he put a question out to me, and a lot of you guys tweeted underneath it and wanted to share your thoughts. I think this is going to be a really good question. So he asked me, should we be putting out the best lineup or to get wins or to build off of? Is there a difference? Can the Pistons afford another lottery pick this year? Who gets shown the bench that could be using more time? Also, can you revisit this in the first month to come again in March? All right, and then some of you guys went in below and asked for this to be made a bigger topic. Should they be looking forward to trying to make the playoffs this year, or should they be looking forward to, you know, developing and getting another top pick, all that kind of thing? So this is where I stand with that. You guys, I think you guys know that I want the Pistons to get into the top pick next year. And the very first problem I have with the Pistons making the playoffs next year is that, let's say, first of all, they're not good enough to do that. But let's just say in this hypothetical, everyone gets exponentially better, and out of nowhere, somehow they make the playoffs. If they make the playoffs, they're losing their first-round pick to – I forget who has their first now. It went from Houston to does New York have it now? I forget who has their first now. But they lose that first-round pick because it's protected top – what is it, top 14 or 15? Top 14, 15, or 16. If they make the playoffs, it's a much higher chance that they end up losing that pick now. And I do not want to lose that pick in a stacked 2023 draft. I've told you guys over and over, this upcoming draft in 2023 is – massive. It's going to be heavy with talent. So that number one, I do not want to lose that pick at all. Not I don't even want to consider the likelihood that that could happen. That's one. Then two, considering the fact that next year's draft is so stacked, I want a high pick in that draft. I want the Pistons to have another chance at getting a legit blue chip prospect to add to this young core, because I think they're still missing that. I think they're still missing another blue chip prospect to go along with Cade Cunningham. And I think trying to win games this year, in the second year of Cade's career, in the third year of most of these guys' development cycle, all of that, it doesn't accomplish anything. You should be worried about just developing them. If that somehow, if you develop them into like stars and all of a sudden they carry you to the playoffs, then so be it. But that's not going to happen. They would have to, it's just not going to happen. So anyways, I think that you should be putting out a starting lineup that is focused about development. And that's why I've said for the past few days and the past week or so that I would just go ahead and start Jaden Ivey and Cade Cunningham right out the gate, because that's your backcourt of the future. Might as well start the development early. Might as well start getting them used to each other early, trying to figure out how to play with each other, how to play off of each other. Get that started early. It's going to be rocky at first. It's going to be an adjustment. But if that's your backcourt of the future, get that started with early. Let them figure it out throughout the season so they can go into next season and years after that feeling comfortable with each other. So that's why I stand right there. So I believe the Pistons should be putting a lineup out there that's focused on development. I don't think they should be playing heavy vets like Corey Joseph, Rodney Magruder, Kelly Olynyk many minutes. I think Kelly Olynyk, I've told you guys this before, I think Kelly Olynyk should be moved to another team in service to him, because if they're going to be focused on development, I don't see why you play him over Bagley or Duren or Isaiah Stewart. Either Kelly Olynyk or Nerlens Noel, to be honest, one of those guys I'd move again, because I'd focus on development, and one of those guys just won't be playing, in my opinion, if the rotation goes that way. And I don't think either one of those guys are at the point in their careers where you should be sitting them, and I think that would be kind of cruel to both of them. So I'd move the one that's going to be out the rotation, to be honest. That would just be me. But that's where I stand with it. I'd put out a lineup for development, focus on that development throughout the year. If that ends up with 32, 35 wins, so be it. You have another top pick in a stacked draft class where the Pistons still need talent. I know a lot of people are really high in Jaden Ivey. Listen, he's going to be exciting to watch, but we do not know how good he's going to be. We don't know how great he's going to be. We've had people on the podcast. We had Lazarus Jackson, editor at Detroit Bad Boys, say that if this was a better draft class, Jaden Ivey doesn't go top five. He may go top eight, top nine. We had some other people say that he's one of the best guys in the draft. So we don't know where he's going to be. We don't know what kind of player he's going to be. Well, I'm telling you guys, there's guys in next year's draft class that people are already penciling in for future all-stardom, like multiple guys that people think are going to be future stars in the NBA, and they don't have many questions about them. So that's the kind of prospect and talent the Pistons need. I feel like still, I feel like they got Cade, their franchise guy. But outside of that, I think they have a bunch of – I mean, Sadiq has proven to be a starter at the very least. But I don't know if he's going to be more than that. We'll see. But so far, I think they only have one legit blue-chip prospect, and you need more of those to win in today's NBA. So if you have a chance at the upcoming draft to get one of those, I don't see why you pass up on that so you can try to push for a play-in spot in the second year of Cade's career when he's 21 years old, when half your – more than half your young core is 20 years old. I don't see the point in that. It doesn't make sense to me. So that's where I stand with that. Let me know in the comment section what you guys think the Pistons should be doing with their starting lineup. Should they be going for more win now kind of lineup in their starting lab, or should they be focusing more on development and improving some of their young guys? Even if it starts off rocky, trying to get to a point at the end of the season where you're saying, hey, it was rocky at first, but you need to go through that so you could get here. Let me know what you guys think in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Coop Cahill. When we come back, we'll answer more of you guys' questions that you guys sent in. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your sports betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's Major League Baseball season. And by the way, speaking of Major League Baseball, that man Shohei Ohtani is just unbelievable. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, golf, and now the NBA Summer League is going on. You can go check NBA Summer League out. The NFL season coming around. You can get a head start on the NFL season when college basketball and college football come around. That's going to be up there. If you head to the basketball section, you can already see future stuff about next season. You can get a head start in the NBA season, and it's still months away. You can do all that over at BetOnline.net. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We're free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you have not already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. I'd really appreciate it. Or if you guys are listening to this on the podcast platforms, go down in the rating section down below and leave a 5-star review for us. I would really appreciate that as well. All right, so let's go ahead and get back into the questions and answer some questions that you guys have sent in. This one is from Merch Guy Jeff on Twitter. He says, what two Pistons off the bench are the most important to the team's success this season? I would say Killian Hayes, without a doubt. He's like their X factor. If he doesn't improve and he's not better this year, it's going to be tough. So I think he 100% is the leading dog there. That's one. And two, I think you could go two different you can go two different sections or two different ways here. I want to go Isaiah Livers because I think Isaiah Livers has proven to be a pretty important piece. But Isaiah Livers also may be starting. We don't know yet. But then the other one is also a player that you don't know if he's starting or not starting. And that's literally any of the bigs. Any of them. Pick one. You want to pick Stu? You want to pick Bagley? You want to pick Duren? You want to pick Kelly Olynyk or Nerlens Noel? I think though any of those guys, whichever ones are coming off the bench, I'm going to assume, just simply to answer this question, let's go ahead and assume Marvin Bagley is coming off the bench. I think then if he's coming off the bench, I think it's Killian Hayes and Marvin Bagley. They're going to be the biggest pieces of the bench. They have to carry the bench. I could see some lineups where they both, one of them closes games, even with the starting lineup. I can see that happening with Killian with the 3-guard lineup. I could see games where Marvin Bagley's going off and providing rim pressure and offensive firepower that they have to rock with over Stu. I can see that happening. So both of those guys, I think, are the only ones that could really find themselves doing that. Unless Isaiah Stewart's Isaiah Livers is coming off the bench, but we don't know what's happening with him. So it's kind of hard to answer this question because there's a few guys who are kind of fighting for a starting spot. So who knows? And then Jane Ivey could come off the bench. I think they should start him, but if he comes off the bench, he's obviously the biggest piece coming off the bench for the Pistons. So who knows? But if we're going to go with, you know, Cade and Jane Ivey starting, and we're going to assume Isaiah Stewart starts with Sadiq and Nerlens Noel or Jalen Duren. Let's just say they do the 2 big lineup, whatever. I think then you would say Killian and either Bagley or Livers would be the two most important players coming off the bench for the Pistons this season. Let me know if you guys have any other answers to that question down below or over on Twitter. All right, this one's from Tyler Johnson. He says, would you have given DeAndre Ayton the money that the Pacers have offered him? So if you have not heard the news, DeAndre Ayton has accepted an offer sheet with the Indiana Pacers. It's for 4 years, $133 million. If I understand this correctly, the first year starts at $29.5 million and then increases 5% over the next 3 years. I believe that's how the contract structure has to go for a guy who's leaving his team. I know he can't get a 5-year contract and he can't get the max that the Suns could have given him. I believe the most that an opposing team could have gave him was that contract, $29.5 million, and then 5% increases after that. I believe that's how it goes. And this is the thing. Do I think the Pistons should have done it? It just depends which direction you wanted the Pistons to go. First off, it sounds like the Phoenix Suns are going to match. So I'll give Troy Weaver some credit here. I'm just going to guess. I'm going to assume that Troy Weaver got some kind of intel or understanding that Phoenix is probably going to match this. It's no point of me wasting our cap space and our cap time to go into free agency and avoid all these draft day trades we could be doing. It makes no sense for me to do that when I know that the Suns are probably going to match this. Let me just forego that. I'm going to assume that's what's the case because Woj tweeted out that it seems like right now that they're going to match Indiana's offer. So if he knew that was the case, no, you shouldn't have done it because it would have wasted time and it definitely would have held up possible trades and the route that he decided to go, which was trading Jeremy Grant, creating cap space, taking on cap or bad contracts, or I guess you don't even can call them bad contracts, I don't think, but heavy salaries for the New York Knicks in exchange for picks to get Jalen Duren and future flexibility at the trade deadline and in next year's free agency. He decided to keep flexibility and go into another year of development by adding to the young core and focusing on the young core for another season. And I think next year will be the year that they decide to try to win or try to get better and compete for a playoff spot. I think that's what he's aiming for. I think that's the smart move to do. I think that was the right thing to do. So if he knew that DeAndre Ayton was probably going to get matched, then no. If he wanted to go a different route, if he felt like DeAndre Ayton, hey, this is probably like one of the best guys we're going to get in free agency. There's a guy who has the potential to be a future all-star who's still extremely young, can fit right in with the young core, and I believe has a hell of a future in front of him, and we have the perfect chance to grab him right now, then if he wanted to go that route and he wanted to forego, you know, not getting as better this year in the win-loss column to get DeAndre Ayton, try to push for a playing spot, all those kind of things, and pay him that contract, I would not have been mad at it because I thought DeAndre Ayton was really the only free agent in this year's class that made sense to do that with. I thought he was the only one that was good enough right now and gave you a legitimate reason to believe he was going to get better moving forward and could be even better. So I thought he was the only one that was worth it, the only one that was worth taking a chance on. So if Troy Weaver decided going that route, I would have been cool with it. As of right now, looking at how everything's playing out, I would say no because it looks like Phoenix are going to match. And I like what Troy Weaver decided to go and do. I like the fact that he went for cap space and future assets to get another future pick to focus on another year developing these guys on the team. Because this is the thing. Let's face it. I know a lot of fans won't like to hear this, but it's the simple truth. The guys on the Pistons squad right now, the part of the young core, we are fans of them. We like them. But on legitimate playoff teams, most of them are not playing. Most of them are not good players for playoff teams. And that's fine. They don't have to be right now. They're 20 years old. But trying to rush that and try to act like they are already, I think would have been foolish. And I think Troy Weaver realized that or knows, maybe not realized that, maybe he knew that all along. And we were just being, you know, dragged along in a little game of whatever was going on in the offseason. But rushing that and putting them in a position where they're just not ready for at the age of 20, 21 years old, would have been stupid. It would have been foolish, in my opinion. And Troy Weaver realized that and said, look, they're not ready yet. If we want them to be at their very best when we try to go for this, we want them to actually be ready for this, it's going to take another year. They need another year to develop and grow together. They need to get better as players. And I agree with that assessment that he did and the route he went. So I'm cool with missing out on DeAndre Ayton, even though it looks like the Pacers, who got him to sign an offer sheet, are also going to miss out on him because it looks like Phoenix is going to match. Which I'm really interested to see what happens with Phoenix. I don't think he wants to be there at all. And he can waive. He has a no-trade clause now for a year. So they can't just move him wherever they want in January like people were thinking. No, that's not how it goes. He has a no-trade clause in it. And he can choose where he wants to go. So it's going to be interesting what Phoenix does because he doesn't want to be there. I'm kind of shocked that they're not just signing trading him for like Miles Turner or something. But it is what it is. All right, next question is from Joe Trevor on Twitter. He says, who do you think, or when do you think the Pistons will use their cap space to sign a free agent next year? I think I just answered that question in this last answer. I think next year is the year that you see them move in either free agency or use the cap space to trade for somebody who wants out. And listen, we've talked about that many times in the podcast before. People always say you're not going to see one of these guys become available before or again. And then a year later, we got five more guys. Every single year, don't buy into that argument. I don't agree with that argument at all. History proves that argument to just be false. Every single year, a new guy wants out. Every single year, something goes crazy and some dude gets traded. Every other offseason, there's multiple guys who end up needing to be traded that want to move to a different scenery to become available. It happens every offseason. So you're not missing out if you don't think this is the right one this offseason. But anyways, my point is I think they could do that next year. They said, screw it with DeAndre Ayton. We're going to pass on him. And then next year, they keep that cap flexibility if they decline the options, which they will if Burks and Noel are even on the team still. I know Corey Joseph comes off the books. Obviously, Jeremy Grant's out of here. His contract's no longer on the books. all that stuff. They're going to have major cap flexibility next year. I think next year is when they make their move and decide, hey, we're going for this play-in now. And it could either be through free agency or they could use it to try to get a trade-off. Whichever one you want to choose, I think next offseason is the move. And I think all the moves that Troy Weaver has made signal that he also thinks that, that next year is the move. And all the beat writers have said that they, in their articles, they've all reported that the organization believes next year is the year that they take that swing. So I think all signs obviously point to next season being when they do it. This is the last question we'll answer, and then we'll go to the final segment. This one is from Jim Love on Twitter. He asked like three questions within this, so I'm gonna answer all of them pretty quickly. First one is this: Killian Hayes' last season. Very possibly. I think it could be. I think even if Killian improves, which I think he will, I believe in Killian. I think he's going to get better. I like what I saw in Summer League. I like what I see him working on. His handle looks tighter. He looks like he got a better base to his jump shot. He looks more confident. He looks like he understands that he has to take this bull by the horn. I like what he's doing this offseason. I like what I've heard about his offseason. However, I think even if he gets better, he could realistically find himself on another team next season who likes the development and takes a swing on him. I could see that happening. It depends on whether the Pistons are okay with their seventh overall pick being a high-level backup or a guy you know, a sixth man that closes lineups for you guys. Is that good enough for a seventh overall pick behind Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey? Is it good enough? If it is, then maybe I think he lasts before or beyond this season. If not, I think this is probably his last season. He's basically auditioning for another team starting job or more minutes or a team that will accept him as just a simple high-level backup. Will Saban be traded? No, I think Saban could realistically be waived in the next few weeks. We'll see what happens. The last question you say is, who's going to want to come to Detroit with the cap space next year? We'll see. That's what my answer will be. We'll see. We don't know what players will be feeling like. We don't know what kind of seasons they'll be having this year. We don't know what could happen this year that may make some of them not want to go back to their original teams. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I do know that the Pistons will be players, though. They will be players. Who are they going to be playing for? We're going to have to wait to see. When we come back, we'll answer all of the other – or try to answer all of the other questions that you guys sent in. But first, you guys have to hear from some of our lovely sponsors. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button on our road to 5,000 subscribers. And if you're listening to this on the podcast platforms, you can go over there, hit that subscribe button. That's still the best way to support the podcast. Or you can go down below on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this to. Go to the rating system and give us 5 stars. I'd really appreciate it. It's another great way to support the podcast. All right. Let's get back to some of the questions. This one is from Fueled by Motown. He says, being as unbiased as you possibly can be, do I think Cade Cunningham will be an all-star this year? Or do you think it'll be one more year before he gets that nationwide recognition in contest, or because it's a popularity contest in some ways? All right, being as unbiased as possible, I do not think Cade will be an all-star this year. And it's because, one, I think team record. I don't think the team is going to be that good. That's one. And two, listen, I think Cade is going to be – we had an episode last month or something where I think Cade's going to be a future MVP. I think he's a future MVP-level type of guy. But I just really feel like guys need to understand that it takes time to grow. Like, I know we're all anxious. We're all excited. Everyone gets excited. Everyone gets anxious. Everyone wants to see it happen right now. But I think people need to understand it takes time. It takes a long time. So I know one of Cade's comparisons is Luka Doncic. Listen. Luka Doncic is a generational prospect, a generational player who, if he retired right now, would be a Hall of Famer because of what he already did over in Europe. And he's one of the best playoff performers we've ever seen. Like, he's different. He's one of the 5,000 players you'll ever see he's special. He's a different type of breed. Okay. Not everybody becomes that their second year, third year. Another guy that I've seen people compare Cade to is Devin Booker. See how long it took Devin Booker, his team, to get good? You see how long it took Devin Booker to get an all-star, even though he kept getting better and better? Listen, Cade is 21 years old. It's going to take – he has to get better. There's multiple areas that he has to get better in. He still has to get more efficient. He has to become a better three-point shooter. He has to cut down on turnovers, be a little bit more consistent defensively. There's all kinds of things that he – even though he's really good already, he still has to improve. So if you're going to be on a bad team, which I think he's going to be next year, you have to be absolutely like generational, like insanely good, where it's just be, it's like a Zion Williamson type of situation where you're putting up 27 points to some of the best efficiency we've ever seen since Shaq kind of things in order for you to get past the fact that you're on a losing team. And I don't think he's going to do that, which is, let me just make this clear, which is completely fine. I don't think that's a bad thing. As long as he shows improvement next year, that's cool. I think by his third year, that will probably be when he tries to push for an All-Star game. Whether he makes it, it depends on the Pistons' record, I think. But I think third year is when he pushes for it. And then after his third year, I think he's an All-Star every year of his career after that, of his prime, obviously, not when he's at the back end of his career. But I think after his third year, he's an All-Star every year after that. I think third year is when he's pushing for it. He might get in, depending on how the Pistons are playing. Second year, I don't think it's realistic to do it. And I don't want anyone to put those kind of expectations on him because they're, I don't want to say they're unrealistic because it can happen because we've seen, like I say, it will take like a Zion Williamson type of performance, but I it is kind of unrealistic to try to throw that onto his shoulders. Let's just worry about him getting better and getting to the point in his third, fourth season where he's going to be an All-Star the rest of his career. I think that's what we need to worry about. And not so much about if he's an All-Star next year. It's fine. If he is, great. He's amazing. We all love Cade. He's going to be an MVP one day. If he isn't, that doesn't change the fact that I think he's going to be MVP someday because guys take a long, not a long time, but guys take more than just 1 year to develop. It's fine. It's going to be okay if he doesn't. I promise. He's going to be straight. All right, so next one. Next question is going to be from – let's go ahead and answer this question from Asuka Truly. It says, if our beginning of the year lineup looks like this, what would you make of it? He says, Cade, Ivy, Bay, Livers, and Noel. I think that right there would be the best balance of, I think it would be the best balance of trying to put out a competent lineup while also focusing on development. Because four of those guys are part of your young core, but also it makes the best lineup, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Experimental wise, like thinking of a lineup hypothetically, what would be like a best lineup to put out there? Okay, you got Noel, who's the lob threat and the rim protector. You can run pick and rolls, put pressure on the rim on lobs. And surrounding either Cade or Ivy, whichever one is running the pick and roll at that time, you surround them with shooters and Bay and Livers and a guy who can attack off a catch in Cade or Ivy, whichever one's off ball. I think that makes the most sense lineup-wise. Do I think that's what they're going to go with? I don't think so. I don't think they're going to go that route. If I had to take a guess, and this is one of your someone else's questions, so I'm going to answer this one here. If I had to take an absolute guess right now, I had to put my money on it, what I think the lineup will look like right now. And I have the right to change this, by the way. It's way too early in the offseason for you guys to hold this against me, so don't try to do it. But if I had to take a guess right now, I would go Cade, Ivy, Bay, Stu, and Noel or Durin. I think that's what they go with. Or they go Stu and Bagley. I think they try to do the two big man lineup with Stu in the starting lineup. I don't agree with that. I don't think it would work in the starting lineup. I have questions about it working generally, in general. But in the starting lineup, I think if you're going to start Cade and Ivy, they need spacing. They absolutely need spacing. And that two big lineup terrifies me. But I think that's probably what they're going to try and roll out there at the very beginning of the year. As of, what's today's date? July 14th. Let me know what you guys think the starting lineup is as of right now. If you had to take a guess, comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kukio. All right. This one's a funny question. This one's from Gove over on Twitter. He says, would you rather spend a night out with Dwayne Casey or a night in with Troy Weaver? I think absolutely a night in with Troy Weaver because I hope a trade goes off. I brought this up on the podcast like last week. I've low-key gotten interested in how do GMs like make moves? Like how do trades happen? So like, for example, everyone knows 2K, right? If you play 2K, you play the little My GM mode, you play franchise mode, all that stuff. They have like a trading block, a trade finder and all that stuff. And obviously it's a video game, haha, all that cool stuff. But part of me wants to know, all of me. I really want to know. One, is there such thing as a trading block actually in real life? Like we get reports of like, oh, this team has made this guy part of the trading block. How do you know that? Are you supposed to? Who are you texting? How are you putting that out there? This dude's on the trading block. Is it just through the report? Like how are teams getting notified that hey, this guy was put in the trading block? Is there like an online system of just 30 NBA teams where you can just put a guy on the trading block and let them know hey, we're listening to offers on this guy? I'm for real. I'm being serious. I want to know this. I want to know these answers because, like, also, do they text each other? Like, do GMs text each other? The trade offer is like, hey, I'll give you this so-and-so for this guy. What you think? Is that how they do it? Or do they actually, like, go in their office, sit down, pick up the phone, call them, be like, hey, listen, you kind of, I'm interested in this guy. Let's try and make some trades up. Like, is that how it happens? And then another question, why does it take so long for a trade to happen? Like, I have so many questions concerning trades, like how the communication happens, what goes down with that. I wish someone would put a book out or like a big, I don't know, drop a big athletic article or somewhere ESPN detailing how this goes for GMs. Because I'm way too interested in this. I need to know. Because like when this to give you an example, like when the Nets called Minnesota and asked for Carl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, and first round picks for KD, I want to know, did he have the gall to call Minnesota and say that to his like to him over the phone, or did he just like text him and be like, hey, KD for Cat, Ant for first round picks, what you feeling? Like, I need to know. I just. I'm way too invested in it at this point. Like I need answers. So that's why I choose to stay in with Torrey Rivers. I'd just be sitting there begging that like trade discussions happen. So I can see, like, do you pull a laptop out? Is there a trading block? Like, is there an online system software that has been created just for NBA GMs that they use to do this stuff that no one else has access to? Is it really just you call and like tell Woj to report something or Shams to report something? So now all the teams know, like, how do they know that some guy is on the block? How does that happen? I need to know that. So that's why I choose to stay in with Troy Weaver if I had to pick between the two. Let's go ahead over to YouTube. I think we had one question on YouTube. This one is from Larry Lewis. He says, start bench or cut? Olynyk, Nerlens Noel, or Bagley? So I'm not going to – like, I want to actually start them, but I'm going to say start, like, in relevant to importance. So start Bagley. I think he's the most important one because he's part of the young core. I think I would bench Nerlens Noel and cut Olynyk, because I think Nerlens you can get more for at the deadline because of his contract and kind of player he is. I think people are probably a little bit more questioning Olynyk more than Nerlens. I think I don't know. I could be wrong with that, but that's just my guess right now. So I'd go start Bagley, bench Nerlens to eventually trade him and just cut Olynyk. And then the final question that we will answer is also from YouTube. This one is Diago Peralta. He says, with basketball becoming a global sport in countries like Australia, Canada, and the Balkans producing more NBA talent, will a FIBA World Cup ever become more attractive and take off in popularity? I think so. I think the thing is, I agree that the game is definitely going more global, and we're getting, and say you mentioned this, that for the last four MVPs have gone to two different international players. So this is the thing. I think obviously it's getting more global. I won't be surprised if we get even more global superstars that, you know, take over the NBA. But no matter how global it gets, I still think that no matter what, it's going to be an American game. It's going to be American-centric game, I should say. It's going to be focused and be most popular in the United States. And unless the United States are sending their best players or some of their most popular players in the FIBA World Cup, I don't think it's ever going to take off that much in popularity, at least in the United States. I think it would have to, some of the best players would have to commit to playing in that in order for it to happen in the United States. Now, in other countries where they're from, these future superstars are from, then yes, I think it blows up and they, obviously, it's going to keep growing in popularity and people are going to love watching it. But in order for it in the U.S., I think is what you're asking, will it like take off in popularity here for us to watch? Because not a lot of people, I feel like, watch it in the U.S. I think it's still, no matter how dominant some of the European guys and overseas guys, Africa, all the other continents, countries, wherever you come from, no matter how dominant, how cool it is to see all of them come to the NBA and dominate, I just don't think that you're going to get enough attention and take off as much in popularity unless some of your United States guys are going over and playing. I don't think American fans are going to, like Giannis and Luka. Like, Luka played, but I didn't see a lot of people talking about Luka playing outside, like, Mavericks fans. Like, but if LeBron or someone like in the FIBA, like LeBron or KD or something have played in the FIBA, I think everybody would be watching it and everyone would be talking about it here. So I think that's what we would have to take. That's my long answer right there. But that's all the questions that we've answered on today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. If I did not answer your question and you sent one in, I apologize. We tried to get as many as we could. If you did not send in a question and you want to have a question answered in a future podcast, there's three different ways you can do it. You can tweet me at Cooker Hill, hashtag mailbag. You can go to one of the YouTube videos, comment, hashtag mailbag. Or if you listen to one of the podcast platforms, you can go down below in the review section, leave a 5-star review, and leave your question in the review section as well. I'd really appreciate it. That's if, obviously, you want to hear a question you asked on the podcast in the future. Until next time, man, I'll see you guys later. I want to thank you guys for making Lockdown Pistons your first listener every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. We're on our way to 5,000 subscribers. Continuing to show Lockdown, we the best and fast-growing fan base at the Lockdown Network. But until the next podcast, I'll actually be releasing one tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, when you guys listen to this. It'll be Friday. So Saturday morning, I will be releasing a podcast. You got to get an extra one on the weekend. So stay tuned for that. But until then, I'll see you guys later. Peace out, everybody, and stay safe.